Legal Update brought to you by the Melkert Hubert Chedin Law Firm. Common Sense Legal Advice with me, attorney Kelly Dohm. Kelly, nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, Mark.
And we're going to talk about some, I guess they're COVID-related items, but before we do that, we're going to talk about attorney Amber Donnelly a little bit, so let's get on that.
Yes, we are very proud of Amber Donnelly, who was just appointed by our governor to fill the vacancy of the Honorable Tim Luby in Sibley County in the 1st Judicial District.
Okay, now when you become a judge, are you automatically honorable or do you have to earn that?
Well, Amber has always been honorable,
okay.
So she's already earned that. We are extremely proud to have her go off and do this. And ironically, Mark, she is filling the role of my former law partner, Judge Tim Luby, who was also with Melkert Hubert Chedin for many, many, many years. So the irony of this, Mark, that we have two of our attorneys filling the same judicial seat.
Yeah, it sounds like Melkert Hubert Chedin is kind of a proving ground for judges.
Yes, I think that is proving to be true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the best of luck to Amber and the Honorable Tim Luby on his next endeavors.
Yes, yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about three things if we have time enough to do that. One of the first things, and as I mentioned, COVID-19 kind of related, workers' compensation benefits amended?
Yes, Mark. So this recently happened on April 8th. So now in Minnesota, an employee with COVID-19 is entitled to workers' compensation benefits if he or she contracted the virus due to an exposure at work and is a worker in certain industries. So this presumption means that certain infected employees in Minnesota are now presumed to have contracted COVID-19 as a result of their employment. This new presumption applies to Minnesota employees who contracted COVID-19 on or after April 8th, tested positive, or have been medically diagnosed with COVID-19 and work in one of the following occupations, which include licensed peace officers, firefighters, paramedics, emergency medical technicians, nurses, healthcare workers, correctional officers, or security counselors employed by a state or political subdivision, healthcare providers, nurses, or assistive employees employed in a healthcare, home care, or long-term care setting with direct COVID-19 patient care or ancillary work in COVID-19 patient units, or workers required to provide child care to first responders and healthcare workers. So in these circumstances, employees are presumed to have contracted an occupational disease and are entitled to workers' compensation benefits, and the presumption can only be rebutted if the employer or the workers' compensation insurance carrier proves that that employment was not a direct cause of the disease. So this is huge news for people in those occupations, Mark.
Okay, so does that kind of bottom line make it a little bit faster, the process?
Yes, we are hoping it will make the process faster for those kinds of individuals. Now, employees who do not meet the above requirements could still be entitled to workers' compensation benefits for COVID-19, but only if the employee proves that he or she contracted it at work. So for the folks that are not in those specific occupations, Mark, it would be very difficult for them to prove that they contracted it at work still.
Yeah, it was. You're kind of talking like essential workplaces, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
in the healthcare industry.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
Mm-hmm.
Family temporary.
Yeah.
This has a long title.
This does have a long title. So, Mark, on April 1st, 2020, the U.S. Department of Labor issued temporary regulations implementing the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. This is huge that we have these temporary regulations, which expire on December 31st, 2020, because these regulations clarify some of the statute's ambiguities and formalize certain Department of Labor commentary that has been set forth by it on their question and answer website. And it also does provide us some guidance as to the inconsistencies between the CARES Act and the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. So I am telling clients to go to those regulations and carefully read them. It's about 48 pages of you know, regulations, but it's very well drafted, and it does provide us with guidance to the inconsistencies, because that has been very difficult for us as employment law practitioners to try to figure out correct answers to questions when the CARES Act provides one answer, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act has an answer, the Department of Labor has yet another answer, and there's inconsistencies in all of these things. So we are really happy as employment law practitioners that the U.S. Department of Labor has given us these temporary regulations to try to reconcile these inconsistencies. There are still, Mark, many ambiguities out there, which is why folks should be calling an attorney who can advise on the ambiguities, but it's making it much easier to figure things out for us.
Now, Kelly, is this directed more, what you mentioned here, the 48 pages, this kind of thing, the regulations, is that more for the benefit of business or workers or both?
Mm-hmm. I would say, Mark, that's a great question. I would say both, because now we have some clarity on some types of definitions that are contained within these laws. And before, when it was enacted, there were not definitions provided. And so we were all trying to figure out, well, what do some of these terms mean? And as employment law attorneys, we were all, you know, looking at different things that we thought it might mean. But now we actually have definitions from the government. So this is huge news for all of us.
Okay. Now, and check it out if you can. And mm-hmm. The last thing we're going to talk about regarding OSHA and enforcement guidance.
Yes, Mark. So on Friday, April 10th, OSHA issued an interim enforcement guidance to its compliance officers regarding the recording of COVID-19 cases. This guidance is helpful to employers that are required to file an OSHA Form 300, which is also referred to as the OSHA Log of Work-Related Injuries and Illnesses. So for folks that contract the disease, we have guidance now on how that log needs to be filled out as COVID-19 being a recordable illness. So the guidance states that an employer must record cases of COVID-19 on this log if, there's three things, the case is a confirmed case of COVID-19 as defined by the CDC, the illness is work-related, and three, the case involves one or more of the following general recording criteria for a recordable illness or injury, which would be death, days away from work, restricted work or transfer to another job, medical treatment beyond first aid, loss of consciousness, or a diagnosis by a physician or other licensed healthcare professional. So this is a big deal too, Mark, because now we have guidance again from our government on how to fill out that OSHA Form 300.
Now, I don't think you mentioned that last list, including stay at home, or was that covered?
So, right. So OSHA also is providing guidance to say that employers that are not in the healthcare industry, emergency response organizations, or correctional institutions, those folks must continue to make work-related determinations. And Mark, to follow up on what you just said, those determinations can be made if there is objective evidence that a COVID-19 case may be work-related. Such evidence would include, for example, that a number of employees working closely together become infected without an alternative explanation, and that the evidence was reasonably available to the employer. And that would mean that the evidence is reasonably available if the employer learns of it in the ordinary course of managing its employees, or if someone provides information to the employer. So for folks that are not in the healthcare industry or those types of industries, and maybe teleworking, so, you know, so they are at home. It is still a possibility, Mark, that COVID-19 contracting it may need to go on that OSHA log.
Okay. And of course, you know, a lot of legalese out there and a lot of lists and things to think about. So, you know, if yes. people have questions, what do they do?
They can call me at Melker Hubert Shadeen. And I am, if you just Google my name, Kelly Dohm, attorney, it comes up at Melker Hubert Shadeen. I'm practicing, actually teleworking out of my home, but my firm location is right here in Waconia where I live. And my direct dial number is 952-442-7724.
Legal Update brought to you by the Melker Hubert Shadeen Law Firm. Common Sense Legal Advice. With me today is attorney Kelly Dohm. Kelly, you have a good weekend.
You as well, Mark. And as always, thank you so much for having me on.